All right, take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah, chapter 55. I love good music, don't you? I love it so much, I can't wait to get it out of the way so I can preach. No, I love good music. My goodness, that was great. I like music that feeds your soul, and we certainly have had our souls fed this morning. The singing is a manifestation of joy. You ever notice when you're happy, you sing? You ever notice that? Even if you couldn't carry a tune in a wash tub, you still sing when you're happy. And certainly, you folks are happy today. I don't know why you would be. It's pouring down the rain outside. But you're happy today. You sung well this morning, and it's good to be in God's house and just thankful for what the Lord's done. You think about what the Lord's done for you, that'll make you happy. All right, look at verse 1, please. I want to read just about 7 verses here. I'll just go ahead and tell you that the 6th verse is going to be the text verse this morning. But we need to know what it says on either side of verse 6. So let's begin in verse 1. And here the Bible says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that know thee not shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." I want to speak to you this morning primarily from that 6th verse. I'm going to entitle my message this morning, "Seeking the Lord." Seeking the Lord. Notice the prophet says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." Let's pray. Our Father, we ask now your richest blessings to be upon the message. Father, thank you for the beautiful music we have heard this morning. And Lord, I pray that now our hearts are prepared. The soil of our hearts has been plowed, and we're ready to receive the seed of the Word of God. And Father, as best as I know how, I surrender myself to you and just ask you to help me this morning as I preach. And Lord, I pray that you will bless each one as they listen. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. And Lord, it's a privilege. I'm sure there are people in other countries all over the world that would do anything to be in a service like we're in this morning. And so, Father, help us not to take it for granted, but to hang on every word and realize that there is something here from the Word of God for each and every heart. So Lord, bless now, fill me with your Spirit, and enable and help me as I speak, and we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Many years ago, one of the Saxon kings set out with a large army. He had a lot more army than he needed, but he set out to put down a rebellion in a little remote small village at the edge of his kingdom, and bringing his large, well-trained, well-equipped army into the town, he surrounded the town and took a candle, lit the candle, and stuck it on top of the gate which was the entrance to the city. Put it on the archway of the town, and then sent out a decree to everyone, to all the townspeople, that all who surrendered and declared their loyalty to him would be forgiven, and that their lives would be spared. The king offered all of the townspeople a full pardon and mercy, but there was one caveat. They only would get this offer as long as the candle was burning. Once the candle expired, that was it. And the offer was off the table, and the king announced, or the general announced, that heads would begin to roll. You know, every great offer of life and of time has its candle of limitations. Every great offer has its candle of limitations. And this is true most of all in the area of the greatest offer that was ever made to man. The offer of eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. Here in our text, Isaiah says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." Isaiah says, "Call ye upon him." But notice, call upon him now while he is near. In verse 1, we have the invitation, "Come ye to the waters." It's interesting, when you read verse 1, you will see the little word "come" three times in that verse. Someone has said that the word "come" is the queen of all Bible words. And you will find it often throughout the scriptures. There is a great invitation then given here in this 55th chapter of Isaiah to the nation Israel, as they had wandered so far away from God and had gotten to the place where idolatry had filled the people's lives. And so here is God coming with a great invitation. And in this 55th chapter, you have one of the greatest invitations that is found anywhere in the Bible. Look again at verse 1. He said, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." And this little invitation word just literally resounds throughout the entire Bible, from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of the Revelation. I remind you that when Noah finished the ark, God said to him, "Come into the ark." In the great parable of the supper, Jesus represented God saying to men, as God was saying to men, "Come, for all things are now ready." The Lord Jesus himself in Matthew 11 and in verse 28 gave this plea. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The simple truth of the matter is, this little word "come" rings throughout history, throughout time, through every page of the Bible, through prophecy, and the Bible just over and over bids all men everywhere that they can come to the Lord and find grace and find help and find strength and especially find salvation. It is the word that is written over the gates of heaven in letters of light to greet us as we go home. And it is with this word, "come," that God chooses to bring his inspired Bible to a close, using almost the exact same language as did Isaiah here in Revelation 22:17, when the Bible says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." So folks, I think you can see that the whole idea you guys okay? Help us out there, nurse, please. Thank you. Help us out. Okay, don't turn her loose. She okay? She okay? She had a coughing spell? Yeah, but she fell right there on the floor, so. All right, we'll take care of that. All right, so I think you can see the whole idea here is that God is bidding all men everywhere to come unto him. Now let's look at this great invitation chapter this morning, and especially the first seven verses here. And let me point out a couple of things to you. I think we'll clarify God's invitation. First of all, notice, let's read the text verse again. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. The first thing I point out to you is this. We are specifically called here to seek the Lord. There is a special focus upon seeking the things of the Lord. You know, it's amazing the things people seek today as they go through life. All over our society, men give their energy and their strength and their enthusiasm to multitudes of things other than the things of the Lord. Some of the things men seek are noble things in nature. I mean, like humanitarian efforts and helping the poor and helping the needy and helping the homeless and helping, our environment and different things, giving hope to people without hope. And I'm not preaching against any of those things, though all those things have their place and their noble causes. But in the end, they will fail and they will betray and they will disappoint the soul. All these things, as good as they are, do not have connected to them the promises that God has connected to the promise to those that seek him. For only God can give us the salvation of our soul, and only God can give us eternal life. Now look at verse 2, please, of our text. And I want to point out something. God's loving heart cannot understand why men seek and choose other things. Look at what God says. God says in verse 1, come. And then he says it again, come. And then he says it again, come unto me. And then look at the second verse. It's almost like God is trying to reason with mankind. And he asks men, wherefore or why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Why are you spending your hard-earned cash on that which is not going to help you? And that's the idea behind the invitation here. If we come unto the Lord is going to help us. Folks, I want to serve notice on you. The Lord Jesus is the only one who can save your soul. He's the only one. I find people all the time thinking that going to church is going to save them. It is not going to save you. I have said in illustration many, many times from this pulpit that coming to church is not going to save you any more than sitting in your garage is going to make you a car. You go out and sit in your car in your garage and your neighbors walk by and you're sitting there going, brum, 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 and your neighbors look at you and say, what's wrong with you? You say, I'm a car. No, you're a nut. And why in the world people think that, well, if I just go to church, I'll go to heaven. Folks, that is not what the Bible teaches. I'm all for church. I think everybody ought to be in church. But please understand that going to church has never saved anybody, and it never will. You must be born again. You must come to Christ. And I promise you, that when you come to the Lord, you will get refreshing water and you will get the spiritual food that you need. I mean, everything you need for life and strength and health and salvation is found in Christ. And God's basically saying in this second verse, why spend your money on that which is not going to do you a bit of good? Folks, it's not about church. It's about Jesus. It's about a right relationship with him. And when you come and seek Christ, when you come and seek God, when you come to the Lord and seek him, you will never be disappointed with what you find. The bread he offers is the real thing, and it nourishes the soul. Jesus made this comparison one time. He said, I'm the bread of life, and if you eat of the bread that I offer, you will never hunger. I am the water of life, and if you drink of the water that I have, you will never thirst again. Wow, haven't you found that true, Christian? I don't know about you, but ma'am, when I was a teenager and my life was in shambles and I was trying to find a way to have some peace and have some comfort of soul, and I tried reformation and I tried getting new friends and I tried this and I tried that and I quit this and I quit that, but I never found what I was looking for until I walked down that aisle and called upon the name of the Lord, and God miraculously saved my soul. Then I got up and realized from when I got off my knees, hey, this is what I've been looking for. And I've never met a born-again Christian who earnestly sought the Lord. I've never met one that walked away from that relationship disappointed in God. And folks, the Bible just rings with thousands of promises that if we seek the Lord, we will find Him. You read the Psalms and notice how often David sought the Lord. And in every instance, the Lord was there. And God graciously, graciously provided David with the strength that he needed to go on. So the question then naturally becomes, well, Pastor, I understand that. I mean, I got the verse here that says, seek ye the Lord. I understand that. All right. So how do I seek the Lord? All right. Let me give you three suggestions here that will help you in your daily seeking of the Lord. It is one thing to talk about seeking the Lord, but how do we actually go about accomplishing such a task? Let me give you three quick things here. Quick. No, they're not quick. Let me give you three things here. All right, you shouldn't lie in church, should you? Shouldn't lie out of church, but you really shouldn't lie in church. Let me give you three things here. Number one, the way to seek God is charted for you in the Bible. You want to seek God? Go to your Bible. Read your Bible. Your Bible will give you the roadmap to finding God. I mean, read it, study it, meditate upon it, hide its words in your heart. The Bible should be the first place we go to seek the Lord. Folks, that's the reason why when you come to the Church of the Open Door, whether it's Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night or a missions conference or a revival meeting or a sweetheart banquet, it doesn't make any difference. What you come to, you're going to find somebody is going to take a Bible and open that Bible. Why? Because in this Bible are the words of life. It's the way to find God. It's the way to find the Lord. The Bible should be the first place that we go to seek the Lord. You see, the Bible was given to us for that purpose. It is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our path. How many people have found in the pages of the Bible the path that leads them away from sin and to the Lord Jesus Christ and to a feast that is set before them? I'm reminded of John chapter 5 and verse 39, when the Pharisees were all bound up in religion. And they were all bound up in all the works of Judaism and all this stuff that they put on and that they did in order to appear to be spiritual to others. And the Lord Jesus just leveled all that. And he said to them these words. He said, ye search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. You see, the point was the Lord was saying to them, you know, you guys are trying to find the answer outside of me. And the only place you're going to find the answer is in me. Folks, I'm saying to you, the Lord Jesus is what you're looking for. You say, well, I want to find God. Well, the only way you're going to find Him is through Jesus. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So you need to come to the Lord Jesus if you want to have a right relationship with God. Boy, I read a story this week. There's a group of people lived about 1,000 years ago in northern Italy. And they were called the Waldensians, and they were the descendants of the Anabaptists. You've heard of the Anabaptists. The Anabaptists, Anna, is the idea of re. And they called these people back in the first century and second century and third century, they called these people Anabaptists. All right? Anabaptists. Re-baptizers. And the reason was because once the world church kicked in, they baptized infants into the church. And so the Anabaptists would go preach the gospel of Christ, and then they would win people to Christ, and then they told them, now that you're saved, you need to be baptized. They said, oh, well, we were already baptized. We were baptized as infants. And they said, no, that's not scriptural. You need to be baptized now that you're a believer. You don't get baptized and then get saved. You get saved, and then you get baptized. All right, so these Waldensians were later generations of the same group, and in order to make a living, and they were very honest people because they believed the Bible, and they were very sincere people and very trustworthy people, and they used to travel about as merchants, and they sold jewelry and gemstones and trinkets in order to make a living. And they had such a good quality of merchandise that they had access to the families of nobility. People trusted them. They knew that they weren't going to get ripped off, and they weren't going to get cheated, and they weren't going to get shortchanged. People trusted them. And they would wait until their customers asked, well, do you have anything else of value that I could look at? And the Waldensians would then say to these people, yes, we have jewels that are more precious than anything you've ever seen. Well, of course, that would just get the interest peaked. I mean, you know, they were all saying, oh, I want to see what you've got. And they said, and we will be glad to show you if you promise not to turn us in to the church. You got to promise that you won't turn us in to the priesthood. And we'll show you, but you got to make a promise. And so we have here, they would say, we have here a precious stone so brilliant that by its light a man may see God. Oh, well, when they said that, boy, everybody was just frozen. I got to see it. I got to see it. We've got something here which radiates such a fire that it enkindles the love of God in the heart of whoever possesses it. Well, by this time, the people are making promise after promise, and they've just got to see what the Waldensians have in their possession. And with that, they would reach down and pull out a bundle. And they would unwrap that bundle and pull out a Bible. And they would take that Bible and take them down the gospel and show them how they, as an old sinner, can be rightly related to God through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why the Waldensians are still known in history today as one of the most fundamental, one of the most basic, one of the most steadfast Bible-believing groups of people that ever walked the planet. And folks, certainly, the Bible is where you find that answer. For in the Bible, when you seek God, you will not be disappointed in what you find. So it starts with the Bible. Secondly, you say, Pastor, how do we seek the Lord? Number one, you seek Him in the Bible. Number two, we can find God through prayer. You see, folks, God stands by His promise that they who seek Him in prayer will find Him. In Jeremiah 33:3, the Bible says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. In Psalm 91, in verse 15 and 16, the psalmist said, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You see, promise after promise after promise is made to the believer that when we seek God in prayer, He is more than willing and more than able to hear and to answer our prayers. Now, folks, this is not to say that God's going to give you every little thing you ask for. James tells us that sometimes God doesn't answer our prayers because we ask so that we can consume it with our own lust. I mean, sometimes we're a little selfish in our prayers, are we not? But nonetheless, the promise is here to pray. And if we will just pray, God will hear and answer our prayer. You want to get close to God? Get in your Bible. You want to get close to God? Pray. But let me give you a little thing here, folks. Have you ever gone to God in prayer, but you didn't go with the gimmies? That puts a little different light on prayer, does it not? Have you ever gone to God in prayer without the gimmies? You know, I'm talking about just going to God with an open Bible, reading the Word of God, having the Word of God speak to your heart and stir your soul, and then you just pray to God, and instead of sitting there saying, Lord, give me this and give me that, give me this and give me that, just go and say, Lord, I don't want to ask you for anything. I just want to worship you. I just want to love you. I just want to praise your name. That's going to God without the gimmies. Try that. You talk about fellowship. You talk about enjoying a prayer life. You'll enjoy your prayer life. Try it. The Bible, prayer. But then number three, God is sought by repentance. Say, Pastor, how do we seek the Lord? Go to your Bible, go to your knees, and then number three, God is sought by repentance. I mean, to seek the Lord in the Bible and to seek Him in prayer will not avail unless we also seek Him in repentance. Look at verse 7, please. Notice in verse 6, we have the command, seek the Lord while He is near, while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. But then, notice there's a colon there. In other words, the verse does not end there. There's a caveat to the verse. How do you do that? Well, verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him, what's the next word? Return unto the Lord. And He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. The third way to seek the Lord, you seek Him by His Word, by the Bible. You seek Him by prayer. But thirdly, God is sought by repentance. You know, folks, I think that the reason we don't read our Bibles like we should, and I think the reason that we don't pray, is because we aren't willing to repent of sin. We aren't willing to be broken because of our sin. And because we're not willing to repent of our sin, we don't read the Bible and we don't pray. I believe that. Let me give you an illustration of this from the Bible. You see, there's a part of us that knows that we're just kidding ourselves by reading and praying if we aren't ready to repent of those things which are a barrier to fellowship with God. Let me give you a biblical illustration. Do you remember Jacob? He deceived his father and tricked his brother over the birthright and the blessing. And his mother came to him and said, son, you better hightail it out of here. Your brother is going to whoop you when he comes home, finds out what you've done. And so with the birthright and with the blessing, Jacob flees. His mother told him, you go back to my family, to where my family, my dad and my mom and all my brothers and sisters, go back to where they live. They'll protect you. It's hundreds of miles away. Run there and you'll be safe. I'll send word for you when it's time to come home. So Jacob takes off. Now you'll remember that when he left, he made it as far as Bethel, Bethel. Bethel, Beth is house in Hebrew, and El is God in Hebrew. So Jacob made it to Bethel, to the house of God. And he spent the first night away in Bethel. Now, the Bible tells us that when he got to Bethel and fell asleep, he had a dream. And you remember that dream. There was a ladder that came down out of heaven. And the angels of God were walking up and down that ladder, signifying that the blessing was sure enough going to be upon Jacob. All he has to do now is walk with God. And when Jacob woke up that next morning, the Bible says that he remembered the dream that he had. And he was so filled with excitement at what God had done that night. And he made this statement. He said, you know, the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. And the Bible says this. The Bible says that he then left and he went to Haran. And he stayed in Haran for a long, long time. Almost 30 years now. He has married in Haran. You remember he married two women. Remember that? He thought he was marrying the pretty daughter. He ended up marrying the ugly daughter. And then he waited 7 years and got the pretty daughter. So now he's got two wives. They each had concubines, and he has children by all of these four women. And he's got now 12 sons. They're all married, most of them. They all have children. And God speaks to his heart up here in Haran and says, time to get back. Remember now, he's got the blessing. He's got the promise. It started with Abraham. It went to Isaac. Now it goes to him. And so now he packs his whole family up. All of his cattle, God had blessed him. All of his sheep, God had blessed him tremendously. And now they all come back to Canaan. When they came back to Canaan, they went to this place called Shechem. And in Shechem, all of a sudden, the Lord speaks to his heart again. When God spoke to his heart this time, God said this to him, Jacob, get thee up to Bethel. Now, he's in Shechem. And God said, get thee up to Bethel. Now, what you got to remember is that 30 years earlier, when he was first in Bethel, and he saw the vision of the ladder, he made this statement. He said, I will come and make vows unto the Lord right here. And now it's been 30 years since he's been back to Bethel. 30 years. And God now says, remember what you said? Remember your vows? Remember Jacob? Now I want you to get to Bethel. 30 years has gone by. So what did Jacob do? Listen carefully. After God told him to get back to Bethel, he came out of his tent and he went to the tent of every one of his family members and gathered up all of their idols. Every one of them. He went to all of his sons and all of his grandchildren and walked in as the patriarch of the family. Give me your idols. And he took all the idols and he destroyed them. And then the next morning, he took them all to Bethel to worship God. You say, well, why did he get rid of all the idols? Folks, he knew that if he did not take care of the sin that was in his life and the sin that was in his family's life, going up to Bethel would have just been going through the motions. He knew that he could not go and stand before God with idolatry in his household. And so he took all the idols and destroyed them. What is that? I'll tell you what it is. It's genuine repentance. It was proof that he was earnest when he went to seek God at Bethel. And when he turned from idolatry, God then appeared and blessed him in ways that he never thought imaginable. We seek God, but we want to seek him on our terms, and we soon realize that that's not working. You start in the Bible. You then pray, and then you practice repentance. Folks, listen, 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible for a reason. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Our problem is we just want to do our thing And then every now and then on Sunday, we want to show up and do God's thing, but then we want to just go back and do our thing again. Folks, listen, God wants continuous fellowship with Him. That's why I preached to you, and looking back on it, my whole ministry, I have preached the same message. Get in the book, get in the book, get in the book, get in the book. Because it's in the book where you're going to find what God requires. He has told thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. And the only way you're going to do that is get in the book, get on your knees, and practice repentance in your life. Now, that leads me to the final thing I want to say. Let's think about when we should seek the Lord. The answer to that is in our text. If you will look at verse 6, seek ye the Lord, look here, while he may be found. Call ye upon him when he is near. Now, the text says, while he may be found. The text says, while he is near. Does this not insinuate that there will be a time when God is not going to be near? Does this not insinuate that there may come a time when a person can call upon God and God will not hear him? It certainly does. I'll tell you one time when it'll be too late to call upon God. God won't hear you then. That is, if you live your life without Christ and you die in that lost condition and go out into eternity to hell, you can call all you want in hell and you will not be heard. There is no second chance once you go out into eternity. Folks, if I could find a verse in the Bible that said, go ahead and reject Christ in life. Go ahead, just reject him. Because at the end of 500 years, hell's going to be brought before God. And God's going to say, okay, now you've been suffering down there for 500 years. You've been enduring that awful, awful punishment. And the fire and the brimstone and the memory. And, all the times you've heard the gospel but rejected it. 500 years. But now, hey, good news. If you'd like to be saved now, you can be. No, that's not in the Bible. What's in the Bible is over in Revelation, in Revelation 22, and as God closes out the Word, what God says in the Word is that what you are in eternity is what you will always be in eternity. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is lost, let him be lost still. If you say no to Christ in life, and you die that way, you will not have a second chance. So you better seek the Lord while he may be found. Because I'm telling you, folks, you can find him right here this morning. You can find him right here this morning. Let me ask you, dear friend, do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you're on your way to heaven? If you don't know that, you better get that straightened out now while he may be found. Years ago, when I was pastor down in Dixie, West Virginia, to Bell Creek Baptist Church, we had just moved into the community, and we had a revival meeting in our church, first revival meeting we ever had, and Glenn Matthews was the preacher for that revival meeting. And while we were in that revival meeting, I looked out, and there was a fellow sitting out there, and I asked some of the folks during the handshaking time, I said, who is that guy? They told me who he was. They said, Pastor, he's not saved. He knows he's not saved, and he don't want to get saved. And so we had the services. He was there two or three nights that week, but he never got saved. And I would stop and visit him, try to win him to Christ. He didn't want nothing to do with it. I'll do it one of these days. I'll do it one of these days. And I begged with him, pleaded with him, got to know him, went fishing with him. We went fishing together. So I got to spend whole days with him in a bass boat. And I'd talk with him about the Lord. Yeah, I know, preacher, I know. One of these days. Yeah, I'll get saved one of these days. But he never did. I got a phone call one day, and he had had a heart attack. And he was in the hospital, took him to the hospital, and it did not look good. He was dying. He knew he was dying. His wife knew he was dying. Doctors all said, there's nothing we can do. It's just a matter of time. So when word got to me, I went down to Montgomery General Hospital, and as I was walking in the door, one of our church members was coming out, and they said, Pastor, he just passed away. I said, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. I said, did he get saved? My church member said, no, he didn't. I went up to the room, walked in the room, family's all standing around. His wife was in tears, just brokenhearted. She looked at me and she said, Pastor, he didn't trust Christ. She said, I begged with him. I pleaded with him. And all he did was look at me and say, I can't. I can't. And he closed his eyes and died. Folks, that was a hard funeral to preach. That was rough. How do you give hope to a family when you have a situation like that? Because you see, no matter how hard I scoured the Bible, I could not find any hope for someone who has rejected the clear and simple gospel of Jesus Christ. There is absolutely no way that I could comfort that family. You say, well, Pastor, call upon him while he is near. Yeah, he's here this morning. He's here this morning. You say, well, how do you know he's here? Oh, he's tugged at my heart several times today. He's blessed my heart several times today. And he who cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, God said. Opportunities like you have right here this morning will one day have their end. Wouldn't it be a sad thing if this was the final time? Of course, you wouldn't know that. But wouldn't this be a terrible thing if today was your last opportunity? You know, the Bible talks about today being the day of salvation. Why don't you let today be the day of your salvation? The Lord Jesus spoke of the day for every sinner when the door will be shut. But right now, dear friend, the door is open. Right now, you can put your faith in Christ. You can receive the Lord's full and free salvation. Right now, you can walk through that door if you just will. Are you thirsty? Come and drink. Are you hungry? Come and dine. Right now, the invitation's open. And God looks into every heart this morning, and God says, please seek me today. Would you seek him right now?